Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crimehouse Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayden Suprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to The Brayden Suprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSERP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and subscribe to my YouTube page at BSERP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show, at BSERP show. Now let's get into the show.
San Diego, it's time to fire it up. From the beaches to the ballparks, from the gas lamp to North County, no one knows America's finest city like he does.
You can't just punt on a Manny Machado prime use.
He's a fourth-generation San Diegan, born and raised in the heart of this community. Passionate, opinionated, and always bringing you the real talk on your teams, your city, and everything in between.
Brayden totally knows his stuff. He's ready for the next step. That guy is good.
Live and local, it's the Brayden Sir Brennan Show.
But I think Brayden is one of the up-and-coming young stars in the media game in San Diego.
Now, here's your host, Brayden Sir Prenant.
What's up, San Diego? And a happy Wednesday to everybody out there in America's finest city. He's Frank Marchese. I'm Brayden Sir Prenant. This is the Brayden Sir Prenant Show, live and local each and every day from 10 to 2 on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Got a lot to talk about on today's show. We're going to talk about the Aztec basketball game that was last night. What a waste of a great shot to send the game to overtime. We'll talk about that later on. USD men's basketball beat Grambling State last night. We got other Padres news to dive into, but I really want to spend the first segment talking about a great man that has passed away today. And that is Randy Jones. Today, the Padres announced in a release, with deep sorrow and heavy hearts, the Padres mourn the passing of our beloved left-hander, Randy Jones. Randy was a cornerstone of our franchise. The Cy Young Award winner, Padres Hall of Famer, and tremendous community ambassador was a giant in our lives and will be greatly missed. I had a great opportunity to be able to work alongside Randy Jones at the beginning part of my broadcasting career, right out of college, when this company had the rights to Padres baseball. Randy Jones was a cornerstone of the pregame show. We had him on every single day as part of a segment that we would do on the pregame show, and that continued for a lot of years. And I remember as a producer and as a board op, calling Randy Jones and being able to text Randy Jones and just, you know, he would just shoot the S with you off air because, you know, he'd be at his house or whatever like that. He wouldn't come in studio. That was back when we did all of our pregame shows from the studio, back when we were on 94.9. I mean, that was a long time ago, it seems like. And he was just such a great man. He would talk to you about life. He would talk to you about a lot of stuff. He'd, you know, complain about what's going on with the Padres, but he just like a wealth of knowledge. Such a great person. And as I got to know him over the years, and I didn't get to know him as much as a lot of people out there have, and you know, other people that I used to work with that have known him in a tight relationship, who I'm sure is, you know, mourning his loss probably a little bit more than everybody else is. But you know, he was a great man, a great ambassador for Padres baseball. I love the Padres. He passed away Tuesday at age 75. And when I think about it, as I went from a producer then to an opportunity to host the pre- and post-game show and being able to have conversations with Randy Jones, I learned so much about baseball and about pitching from Randy in like a 1.5 year to 2 year span that I had learned about baseball like growing up. And he wasn't only that. I mean, you'd hear him on the pre- and post-game show, right? I mean, I remember when he used to do the post-game show back in the day. I remember him on the radio. He would do the post-game show sometimes. It was great listening to Randy when I was a kid. I never got to watch him play. But what he meant to this organization, what he meant to the city of San Diego, to the community of San Diego, it's a tough loss today. And I know he was battling. I mean, the guy was battling for the last handful of years. You know, wasn't able to do as much as probably wanted to. Didn't probably get to go to as many games he wanted to. Lived on a great property up in Escondido. He used to, and I remember a lot of people that would go work with Randy. There's a lot of kids that he helped pitch. He taught how to pitch. He would work with at his house in Escondido. He had a little rubber, he had a little mound, little bullpen at his house in Escondido, and parents and their kids would show up and he'd give pitching lessons. And I know he was working with the major league players like that too. The Union Tribune did a great article on him this morning. And it was written by Ryan Finley and Kirk Kenny. And they did a great job of outlining what Randy Jones meant to the city of San Diego. Early Padres pitching star who remained part of the organization and a fan favorite for decades. Padres announced the passing of Randy Jones Wednesday morning, this morning. The curly-haired left-hander pitched for the Padres from 1973 to 1980. He was the franchise's first 20-game winner, going 20-12 in 1975 with the league-leading 2.24 ERA to finish second to the Mets' Tom Seaver in the Cy Young Award voting. Jones won the Cy Young a year later when he went 22-14 with a 2.74 ERA. He was named the National League All-Star team both years, earning the distinction of getting the save, closing out the 1975 game, and the win after starting the 1976 game. The Padres retired Jones' number 35 jersey after his career was over, and fans see it at Petco Park among the franchise's other retired numbers when they enter the ballpark at home plate gate. In the press release from the Padres, they talk about how Randy was a cornerstone of our franchise for over five decades, highlighted by becoming the first Padres pitcher to win the Cy Young Award. Inducted into the Padres Hall of Fame in 1999, his impact and popularity only grew in his post-playing career, becoming a tremendous ambassador for the team and a true fan favorite. Crossing paths with RJ and talking baseball or life was a joy for everyone fortunate enough to spend time with him. Randy was committed to San Diego, the Padres, and his family. He was a giant in our lives and our franchise history. I mean, he might have been one of the funniest guys you would ever talk to. And he had no filter. I mean, he would just let it rip. He would let it rip. And behind the scenes, he'd let it rip about his, you know, opinions of what the Padres are doing, some other stuff. I mean, and he'd let it rip in the clubhouse, too. I mean, he'd just flat out tell some of the big leaguers, hey, we got to be better here. We got to be better there. He's from Fullerton originally. He attended Brea Olinda High School and then went to Chapman before the Padres took him in the fifth round of the 1972 draft. He was in the big leagues a year later. Jones was called to the majors to replace pitcher Fred Norman in the Padres starting rotation. The cash-strapped franchise had traded Norman to the Cincinnati Reds with most of the $150,000 that came from Cincinnati, along with outfielder Gene Locklear and pitcher Mike Johnson, used to pay Dave Winfield's signing bonus after the outfielder was drafted out of the University of Minnesota. Jones, who was then 23, debuted for the Padres on June 16, 1973, against the New York Mets at Shea Stadium. Quote, I was 8-1 at the time in the Texas League, Randy Jones said 2 years ago for a story on the 50th anniversary of his debut. Opportunity time, right guy at the right place. Jones went on to say that his first inning was awfully pretty. Not much was going right for the Padres when Jones summoned from the bullpen. They were down 5 runs midway through the game when they would lose 10-2 before 24,452 fans. Randy Jones pitched a 1-2-3 fifth inning, getting third baseman Ted Martinez and catcher Duffy Dyer on balls back to the mound before retiring pitcher Jerry Kuzman on a fly ball to right field. Had a great fifth inning, returned for the sixth. Jones completed his warm-up pitches and catcher Fred Kendall threw the ball down to second base. It was whipped around the infield and ended up in the hands of third baseman Dave Roberts. Dave runs over and flips me the baseball, Jones said, and then he asked me, do you know who the hitter is? I turned around and it was Willie Mays. Damn, Randy Jones said. Jones remembers getting Mays in a 1-2 hole and knew exactly what he wanted to do next. Quote, figured I'd throw him a ball down and in, and he'd pull it foul, Jones said. I was wrong. Instead, Willie Mays hit a ball none of the fielders were going to get, as he had done 655 times previously over his Hall of Fame career. Quote, he hit the ball so hard, you wouldn't believe it. It disappeared in the dark over the bullpen and left field. They still haven't found it. It must have gotten lost in the parking lot somewhere. Jones went 7-6 with a 3.16 on the season. His other 19 appearances were all as a starter. So funny. I just even in that particular case. Randy Jones was a guy, and I remember he would talk about it all the time, and I use this quote to this day. Baseball players that make it to the Hall of Fame fail 70% of the time. Let them. Let them fail. Throw balls over the heart of the... Throw balls in the zone. Get them to ground out. Throw it a little bit short. And when he swings at it, throw another 2 inches shorter than that. And just pitch to bats. Get guys out. He was a great man and a great Padre and a great figure of this community. And so it was tough to wake up to that news this day. And I'm blessed that I was able to get to know Randy Jones in some sort of way. And I'm sure he touched a lot of people out there as well. But the left-hander was a great guy. And I know Chris Sello and Tony Gwynn Jr. are going to talk a little bit more about that later on, a little bit more about Randy later on. I mean, both of those guys have known Randy for a lot more years than I have. I'm just blessed to say that I knew Randy Jones. And I got to meet Randy Jones and be able to talk to him and be able to work with him. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. If you have any fun memories of Randy Jones, we'll take your calls on that all morning long, all afternoon long, you know, and just do our tribute to Randy. But we do want to dive into Aztec basketball from last night. San Diego State, tough loss as they lose to Troy in double overtime. We're going to break that down. But again, one final time, we thank Randy for everything that he's done for this community. We love Randy Jones. And he passes away at the age of 75.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in.
we host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I want to talk about Aztec basketball now. I mean, I don't know. I watched the tail end of this game because I had USD men's basketball. USD men's basketball beat Grambling State last night. We'll talk more about college basketball in a little bit. Grambling State's head coach got ejected with 8:35 to go in the first half. It's something I've never seen that before. He was arguing that it was crazy. That game was crazy. And before I talk about the Aztecs, I'll talk about the USD game I was at last night. The head coach for Grambling State was arguing that they were getting penalized for ticky-tack calls and USD was bludgeoning their guys and not getting any fouls. Fair enough. He says he's got to call it both ways. But the problem was, Frank, he used foul language while he was doing it.
Yeah, there's...
So
everyone
we got
knows.
Teed. So we got teed. And then he said, bleep you, you bleeper bleeper. And it's like, see ya. He just got... The ref didn't even move. He was like this. Gone. And then he starts getting yelled, and he starts screaming at him. He gets carried off the court. It looked like a cartoon. His coaching staff physically picked him up. And he's screaming and yelling like he's getting pulled off on a stretcher.
Oh, gosh.
And he gets carried off the court to the locker room, wherever he goes and hangs out for the next hour and a half. So then you go, okay, well, the associate head coach probably takes over. The associate head coach wasn't even there. They were down to their third level coach. Now coaching the game. He was unbelievable. So USD had 6 free throws to attempt. Last night in the USD game, 62 combined free throws for both teams.
Jeez.
San Diego was 31 of 32. That's amazing
that's
to me.
That's where you win the game right there.
31 of 32. And the final score last night for USD over Grambling State, 78-68. They got him on the free throws. Outscored him 35-26 the first half. Beat them 43-42 in the second half. I'll tell you what, Grambling's team and their kids battled right after their coach got tossed. I mean, they grinded out. They were down as many as 18 points and actually took the lead with 9 minutes to go in the second half. Valiant effort out of Grambling State. Now for USD, start off really good. Got to see Tyler Johnson out there dishing the rock around. He had 12 points in the first half. Lane was making good threes. I mean, they played really well. Middle chunk looked not very good and then had to turn it on at the end. And that was San Diego beating Grambling last night, 78-68. All right, let's talk about the Aztecs. So I was at that game and then I came home in time to watch the end of the Aztec game. And I don't know what the Aztecs were doing. But you get Magoon Gwath back. Magoon's got 20 points on the night. He finishes with 20 points in 28 minutes. Guy looked legit. 5 for 5 from the field. Even hit 2 3-pointers. 8 for 12 from the free throw line. But the Aztecs shot 71% from the free throw line. And just missed a lot of open shots. But the other thing, and this is what I didn't understand.
San Diego State, like down the stretch, got like super sloppy. I mean, that was the worst defense I've seen by a Steve Fisher, Brian Dutcher team. I mean, this is a team that prides himself on defense, and they had like Troy, who has these, they had the Campbell brothers light them up for 19 and for 16 points and 9 points. They had four players in double figures from Troy, a team that lost to Cal State Northridge, and a team that lost to another team in Southern LMU. San Diego State needed a Miles Byrd half-court shot to just send it to overtime, and they still couldn't put Troy away.
I have that call ready to go, by the way, if you wanted to hear it.
From TV?
Yes.
Late in the game. You got to play it, but here's the deal, Aztec fans. That shot is now not heralded for a great play at Viejas Arena. Now that shot's just a wasted shot. But here's what it was, if you missed it. Aztecs were down, and they were down three with like 3 seconds to go.
89-86 with 2.4 to go.
2.4 to go. Most of Viejas has already left the building after an embarrassing loss to Troy.
Because they were down, 12 with 3 minutes to go. The fact that he even got there was impressive.
And I knew it was going to be bad because Troy jumped out to a 10-point lead early. And so they pulled in three with 2 point whatever seconds left, and this is what happened.
Oh. 3 point game. In it goes to Byrd. Byrd for the tie to send it to overtime, and he got it! Oh! Miles Byrd!
Steve Quist on the call.
Mount West Network.
Our friend Steve Quist. Calls UCSD games and does the games on the KOSI. What a shot. It was a great shot. And you're like, now you got to go steal this thing. Played poorly the entire game against Troy. The entire game. Thomas Dowd had 19 rebounds against you. Anybody know who Thomas Dowd is? That sounds like a made-up name. Thomas Dowd. 19, he had 25 points and 19 rebounds. Are you kidding me? Got a double-double last night, but like a massive one. 25 points and 19 rebounds to Thomas Dowd. We're talking about a team that lost to LMU by 10 and lost to Cal State Northridge by 10. What are we doing here, San Diego State? I mean, this is a team that's expected to be like a contender in the NCAA tournament. You can't be dropping games to Troy. You can't. And it's just... It was a frustrating product last night. Now you got Michigan? I mean, here's the thing. Like, John Rothstein put this out, and it's totally true. By losing to Troy, you now have to do some serious damage in the Players' Era Festival, whatever it's called, and you have to win multiple games over there if you want to be considered an at-large team in the NCAA tournament, because you know what their committee's going to look at? They're going to look at Troy. They're going to look at your loss at Troy. You're San Diego State. You're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. You got to play the Mountain West Conference, who has been lousy. Unfortunately, one of the better teams in the Mountain West, Boise State, already lost to Hawaii Pacific. They lost to a team that is in a strip mall. They lost to a team that is a college in a strip mall in Hawaii. The Mountain West Conference is not looking good. UNLV has lost multiple bye games already. They're not going to make up ground in the conference. This was a catastrophically bad loss for an Aztec team that is expected to be incredibly good this year. Now, based on what I saw Michigan do against TCU, and TCU is terrible at basketball. They are terrible. They are not good. Okay? They're just not very good. As somebody that watches a lot of TCU basketball, they're not very good. They were toe-to-toe with Michigan the other night. So the Aztecs can bounce back and beat Michigan in the Players Era Festival next week. But I mean, you're talking about a Troy team that beat Furman by 3 points, lost to LMU 74-63, lost to Northridge 94-85. You better hope that they go up into the Galen Center and beat up on USC. Otherwise, it's going to look bad. It's going to destroy your KenPom. Just an inexcusable loss if you're San Diego State. Just inexcusable. But they have an opportunity now with the Players Era Festival, whatever it's called. Is that what it's called?
I believe it's the Players Era Festival. I mean,
just don't make it a fire festival if you're San Diego State, and you should be okay.
It was not the game that you expected San Diego State to play last night by any stretch of the imagination. There were a couple of times in overtime where the game just felt over, and I wasn't around, so I'm watching it on the ESPN Gamecast, and I'm seeing San Diego State up by four, up by five with a minute and a half to go in overtime, miss three ball by whoever. It's like, what are we doing? Just try to drive the lane, try to get a foul, try to get points any way you can, and not just jacking threes, because that's how they ended up catching up. Missed threes, missed deep shots, and Troy capitalized on it.
San Diego State puts themselves into a jam when they play with their food. And they play with their food a lot. And they've done that for a long period of time. And the thing is, it's like, that's just kind of the style of San Diego State basketball. That's why it's not that surprising that they lose a game like that to Troy. Now, here's the good news, though, is they have a great opportunity in front of them next week against Michigan and Oregon and probably one more Power Four school where they can play up to the level of their competition. I mean, if they beat Michigan on November 24th, they're right back. I mean, it's right back into conversation. But they played sloppy basketball. And they do that from time to time. And usually what the case is they put themselves in a situation where their defense usually bails them out. Their defense didn't bail them out last night. And here's the other thing. I didn't understand. They had a one-point lead. Basketball people, tell me where I'm wrong. They had a one-point lead last night in double overtime in one of the final possessions. A one-point lead. If I go to the second OT. They had the ball with a minute and 1 second left when Magoon Gwath got the steal. The clock gets to 37 seconds. It's a one-point lead. Why are they chucking up a three-pointer?
Why is Dixon Waters shooting a three?
It made no sense. I don't understand. Basketball people, tell me why that was the right move. I don't know why it was. I couldn't tell you why that was the right move. I guess it was an open look. But you're talking about a team that shot 39% from the three ball. Okay, Dixon Waters was 1 for 5 from three. To me, that strike me as, I got to be the guy. Let me go be the guy right now and put us up by four instead of driving in the lane, trying to draw a foul, and get to the free throw line. You have a one-point lead. Why? It made no sense.
I mean, it looks like a center up three, but like, why are you doing that? You're trying to get points. You're trying to put the game away, not embarrass them. You've already gotten past the point of embarrass them. You're in double overtime against Troy. You embarrassing them is no longer on the cards. That's already gone. Why are you trying to embarrass them? Just win the game. Just focus on winning the game. You're lucky to be where you are in the first place. And you had a lead late in the first overtime that you blew.
But they kept chucking up threes. It made no sense. I mean, San Diego State's never been like a big three-point shooting team. They just haven't. It's been a long time since Rahan was there and hitting threes in the corner. I mean, you have the size. And how many players for Troy fouled out last night?
Yeah.
And three guys foul out. Two starters fouled out last night. One that had 20 points. And the other one was Kobe Campbell. So you have multiple backups in for Troy in double overtime. And they're just chucking up threes. Get to the hoop. Get to the line. And guess what? You could get 3 points the old-fashioned way. It didn't make any sense last night. I'm baffled why Reese Dixon Waters took that shot when you're up by one.
Another issue that I see, and some people might see this as a big issue, others might not. You opened up the season with two pay games against Long Beach State and Idaho State. Then you take 9 days off before playing a team in the Sun Belt. Now, granted, you should be able to beat a team in the Sun Belt on your own floor, but 9 days off when playing two pay games. That's a long layoff to have, especially, and to have that kind of competition come up next after that layoff. That's on the scheduling as well, and that's on San Diego State with the play with the pay games.
I don't know if that has to do with the fact that they had to do with the Players Festival and stuff like that. And it's hard for San Diego State to schedule games. But shooting 71% for the free throw line is not great.
No,
it's not great. It's not good. That is failing basketball. It's failing basketball. I mean, last night USD almost made every single one of their free throws, which is shocking to me because they hardly ever do that. But I don't care what team you are. If you cannot make your free throws, you're not going to win in March. You know, I say that sometimes the USD broadcast think they're going to make like the CBI or the NIT. San Diego State, you got to be thinking about Mountain West tournament time and NCAA tournament time. You have to make free throws. You have to. And they were bad at that. They weren't very good on defense. They couldn't really get anything going offensively. And the three-point game was ridiculous.
And as we've seen with college football, it's an early season loss. You can recover from an early season loss. You just can't make games like this a habit, where games you should be blowing out, you're scratching away, having to force an overtime with a prayer of a shot. But if there is one saving grace, it is that it's an early season loss, and you can recover from that.
Yes, that is a saving grace. And here's the thing. I think the most frustrating thing for Aztec fans is, even with this basketball team that has a lot of returning players and a very loaded lineup and a lot of stars, you would think that they would be able to put teams away. They have the talent. They should be able to put teams away that are like Troy. If they can't put teams away like Troy, what are they going to do against some of the premier teams in college basketball? It's something that needs to be fixed and something that needs to be worked on. 833-288-9973, 833-288-9973. We'll talk more about Aztec basketball. We will also take a dive into what's going on in free agency with Major League Baseball when we come back on the Braden Ciprenet Show, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Talking at
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Aztec basketball after a crushing loss last night to Troy, which is not a great loss for San Diego State. I mean, that is a loss that could keep out of the NCAA tournament. As dramatic as that sounds, San Diego State needs to start racking up some wins now against some Power 4 opponents that they have an opportunity to do so next week. But that's a loss that's going to hurt them in the long run unless Troy wins the Sun Belt. But even then, it's not great. It gives you less freedom when you go to Mountain West play. And here's the thing about the Mountain West Conference. It's difficult. I don't care how bad the Mountain West Conference might be right now in the non-con. Winning conference games on the road is very difficult for every single college team. But committees and people that make decisions on tournaments for some reason, don't view it like that. And so if you're San Diego State, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt of being in the Mountain West Conference. And guess what? You're not going to get the benefit of the doubt being in the Pac-12 next year either. This is why you have to be in a bigger conference. You can go 500 in conference play and make the NCAA tournament easily. 833-288-9973, 833-288-9973. Let's get out to Kevin in Chula Vista. Kevin, what's going on?
Well, boy, I share your frustration on Aztec basketball. I'll get to that in a moment. First of all, condolences and prayers and love to Randy Jones, his family, and everyone associated with Randy. He was, from my memories growing up here, he was one of the first well-known, nationally known great Padres that came along, and just a remarkable career. They called him the little lefty. They didn't have to worry about pitch clocks back then because Randy would be done in about an hour and a half with all this ground ball. So lots of love to Randy. God, we're going to miss him. He was just a great human being and a great Padre, and just sad news, but not unexpected. So going back over to Aztec basketball real quick, Brian Dutcher admits and has admitted in the past that he doesn't put much structure into his basketball strategy. He lets the kids go out and play. We call it playground basketball from, I've grown up here and played a lot of basketball in my time. That's what you saw last night. There was no strategic reason why, as you guys pointed out, when you have a decided height advantage and you don't take advantage of that, I don't care if it's two-point buckets. I take 10 two-point buckets as opposed to 4 or 5 three-point misses, which this is what we were seeing all night. The defense was sloppy. You're telling me that you can't guard these little boys that were on the other side? And the redheaded kids, I can't remember their name, the twin brothers, whatever they were. My God, they made the Aztec defenders look like they're in junior high playing. So what the Aztecs have to do, and I don't understand why Brian doesn't do this, is get some damn structure in the, especially the beginning of the season, when you've got a lot of new faces, you've got, trying to figure out who's going to be able to fit into this system, who's going to be able to be counted on to produce. Great point about Reese Waters at the end. I don't know what in the world that man was thinking. And why I don't even understand why he's in the starting lineup or even in the lineup. He should have to earn his way back. He looks very rusty. And I think that hurt him last night. I don't mean to blame him, put all the blame on him, but just as a point of fact as to how screwed up this game was, this is on the coaches as well as the players. And they have this idea of entitlement at San Diego State basketball. And then they get themselves in these mucky situations that should never happen, as last night did. And Brian's got to get a hold of himself on this. This is his one blind spot that he has. And he's inherited this from Steve Fisher. They all came up with this attitude. We're just going to let the guys go out and show off their playground talent. That'll work a lot of times. But when you get to critical situations, when you're not having a great night with the playground play, you damn well better have a backup plan. And they had nothing last night.
Hey, you know what, Kevin? There's a lot of things about that that you're right. I mean, Aztec basketball's been like that forever. They do play good defense. They always play good defense. They work on the defense. They're usually one of the best teams in the country that can guard. Last night, that didn't show up, and then you have nothing structure wise on offense. And you're right, but that's what Aztec basketball has been. Now, maybe that's what they have to do in order to get better players. Maybe that's what they have to do in order to compete at a higher level, than be another team. I mean, they have a lot of success to show that, it does work, but they get themselves in trouble where they have to grind out games against teams like Troy, and those are teams that they should just bury. I mean, go look at the other teams in the country. I mean, at this point in time, San Diego State, is this out on a limb? Let me ask you this question, Aztec fans. San Diego State basketball is one of the premier basketball programs on the West Coast, correct? Does anybody disagree with that? If you're thinking about West Coast basketball, you're thinking about basically three teams right now. You're thinking about Gonzaga. You're thinking about Arizona. You're thinking about San Diego State. And every once in a while, you'll think about UCLA. That's basically it. Sometimes a Mountain West school comes up and down. But on the West Coast, I mean, if you go Utah over, Those are the teams that are the best teams in the country on the West Coast. I know the resources are different at Arizona. As somebody that has attended Arizona, as somebody that has grown up watching Arizona basketball and understanding the resources they have, Arizona basketball is a slightly different animal, but at the same time, Arizona doesn't play with their food too much. They play teams like Utah Tech and Northern Arizona, and they blow them out of the water. Then they go out there and handle teams like Florida and UCLA. I mean, Arizona is the number four team in the country right now. They just beat UCLA 69-65. They beat Florida at the beginning of the season 93-87. They got Denver this week. And Denver's not, I mean, they're not good. They're going to be joining the West Coast Conference soon, but that's another team. They're just going to bury. And they don't call off the dogs. San Diego State was a 15.5-point favorite last night. They cannot be messing around with the teams that they are huge favorites on. And guess what? Arizona and Gonzaga are the two premier programs on the West Coast. I think San Diego State's up there with them. San Diego State gets to play Arizona December 20th. That's another team that they're going to have to go toe-to-toe with. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Let's get out to Stacy in San Diego. Stacy, what's going on?
Hey, love the show, man. There's a lot to unpack in this, right? So I played at South Alabama. We were in the Sun Belt. You can't lose Detroit.
Correct.
Even as us, you can't drop that game. And you're absolutely correct. San Diego State, it's a top five West Coast program. You can't drop that game, period. Now, I do want to say, as far as that kick out three, that starts in AAU. And it's the way that it's coached is terrible. I have a bunch of eighth grade girls that already have D1 scholarships, and the way that they coach is five out, space the ball, and it's drive and kick for threes. And they're teaching that at seventh grade, eighth grade. It's not drive and dump down. It's not drive and take the foul. It's drive and kick. And it's just it's a thing, and it's caught on. Our team went to Washington. We left with a championship because we play defense. We go to the bucket. We went to Phoenix. We left with a championship. We play defense. We go to the bucket. But everybody else is driving kick. And I'll take those threes. I'll let you take those threes all day. But it transfers, and it goes up, and it goes up, and it goes up. And then once you get to the college level, they're doing the same thing, and it's not good basketball. It's just not. And it's taught from the youth. And it starts at 6th, 7th grade. And that's just how it's rolling out. And it's a shame to see. Love the show. Wanted to throw that out there. But that's the way basketball is progressing at the moment.
Yeah, I don't believe it, Stacey. I appreciate the phone call, man. I mean, I watch San Diego basketball. And USD is doing the same thing. Going into last night, USD was 7th in three-point percentage in the country. They're 7th in the country in three-point percentage. And they're jacking up threes all day long. But the thing is, you live and die with the three ball. You play that way, it's one thing. But USD last night, they were 9 for 31 from the three-point line. They shot the ball 31 times from the three-point line. San Diego State was 9 for 23. They actually shot better than USD did. And I know I'm talking about two separate games. But you look at the 23 attempts. Shot 39%. Driving the lane. They shot 47% from the field. I mean, just based on percentages, that's a low percentage shot by Reese Dixon Waters with a one-point lead. Get in the lane and get yourself to the free throw line when it matters. If you want to do that the entire time, you want to do that, you know, throughout the game, fine. But when it gets to crunch time and you need points, you can't be doing the kickout anymore. And guess what? A lot of good teams in the country, they'll stop doing it. Stacy's right on that. They are a top program on the West Coast. They are. When you think about West Coast college basketball right now, you're thinking of Arizona, you're thinking of Gonzaga, you're thinking of San Diego State, BYU's trying to climb back into it. Those are the schools you're talking about. Every once in a while, UCLA with Mick Cronin puts together a good year. But those are the programs. And those programs, you know what they don't do, Frank? They don't lose to Troy. Mm-hmm. They don't lose to a Sunbelt team. You can't. You're going to talk about this new Pac-12 you're going to be a part of, right? And this new Pac-12 conference, and it's, you know what? It might not be great for football, but we got Gonzaga, and we got San Diego State, and we got Utah State, and Boise State, and we got this great basketball conference. Well, you know what? You can't be losing to Troy if you think you're in a good basketball conference. I watch a good basketball conference on a daily basis. I watch the Big 12 conference. That is a great basketball conference. It is a different animal in that conference. San Diego State, trying to be at that level, you can't lose to teams like Troy. And you can't get off to slow starts. I mean, when San Diego State, like a couple years ago, right, knowing that they're going to be able to roll through a lot of games, it's like they could get off. They used to be able to get off to slow starts and be able to overcome it. In this day and age of college basketball, you can't get off to slow starts. And Troy jumped on him from the get-go. Troy jumped out to a 10-point lead in the first 5 minutes of the game. I mean, they went on an 11-2 run to get the game started. You can't have that if you're San Diego State. And when you're a team built on playing defense and not really running any type of offense at all, you can't get off to rough starts because it's going to be a hard hill to climb all the way up. And they almost got out of it, and then they went right back to what they were doing at the beginning part of the game. Started playing with their food. It's an inexcusable loss last night for San Diego State basketball. And it's disappointing because they're so much better than that, right? They got a good roster. They got a talented roster. They got a good coaching staff with Brian Dutcher, Dave Velasquez. But you can't have that happen. The only saving grace right now for San Diego State basketball is the fact that they're about to go to a tournament where they're going to play a lot of good teams that are going to be battling for tournament play. You're going to take on the 7th-ranked Michigan Wolverines. You're going to play Oregon. And based on how everything seeds out, you're going to be playing another good team in the Power Four. And then you got Arizona on December 20th. So you have a little bit of time to make up ground, but you can't let this roll into a couple of losses. If this is your only loss going into conference play, you flushed it. But if you drop another one, and you might split. Like if they split between Michigan and Oregon, you'll take that. But it's just an unfortunate loss. And everybody that was complaining about San Diego State, myself included, not being ranked to start the season, the AP poll is right. They're like, yeah, this is why we don't rank San Diego State. They couldn't beat Troy. It's a bad loss. It's enough of the beating a dead horse. We all know how bad of a loss that was, so we're gonna move on. But if you want to call in about the Aztecs, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We are going to dive into the 11 o'clock hour, which is going to be focused on Padres and Major League Baseball, and looking at options for the Padres in free agency and how the Padres could build out a rotation. A lot of latest rumors from free agency, a lot of latest rumors on what's going on in the trade market, and we're going to have it all for you in the 11 o'clock hour. I do want to mention again, if you're just tuning in, Randy Jones passed away earlier today or last night at the age of 75. We did a tribute to him to get the show started. And again, just an incredible man. An incredible man. If you want to call in and tell a Randy Jones story, open phone lines for that as well. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Lost a good man today in Randy Jones.
Yeah, and I never really had the opportunity to have a one-on-one interaction being here for the games and when covering here in the studio for Ben and Woods when they would go to spring training or go to fantasy camp. I can definitely see how a lot of people in this organization, this family, feel like they've lost like a father or a grandfather today. I would expect a 35 or a RJ patch on the jerseys this year, a properly big loss for the Padres.
Yeah, a huge loss for the Padres. A great man, and our thoughts and feelings and prayers are all with the Jones family today. What a wonderful man that Randy Jones was. That's a wrap for today's episode of the Braden Suprenet Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.